Amen. It is a joy to be with y'all this morning. If you take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 13, Matthew 13 is where we'll be today. And I do appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak in chapel. And me and my wife do love Christmas very much. And I don't love it as much as she does. She'll listen to Christmas music all year long. And she just loves it. In fact, right before we came up here, we were at the house doing some things, and she said, "I'm going to turn on some music." And then I start hearing Christmas music. I'm thinking, "What are you doing that for?" And she just loves it. And I'm not taking note of that 102 shopping days because I got to figure out what she wants. And it could take me that long to figure it out. And so I got to be sure I get her something nice. And if she opens up her present first and doesn't like what I got her, she might take mine away. And so, you know, there's a reason why Mother's Day is before Father's Day. And if the father doesn't give the mother a good present on Mother's Day, he's not getting nothing on Father's Day. And so I figured that out real quick. And so store that back in your mind and use that one day. We're glad to be with you here today. And when I got the schedule for the week about when I was going to be speaking and all, and I saw that I was going to be doing the chapel, this passage of Scripture immediately came to my mind. And so this has been on my heart for a few weeks now, and I hope it's helped to you today. Matthew chapter 13, begin reading verse number 53. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joas and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege it is to stand here and preach today. And I pray, Father, that you please help me. I can do nothing without you, God. And Lord, I've got many thoughts in my mind. And I pray, God, that you'd help me just to say exactly what you'd have me to say this time. May God, you use your word to speak to someone's heart this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And in this passage of Scripture we come to, Jesus has been out preaching, and now he's returned back to his hometown. And he's come there, and he's preaching the gospel there and to his hometown. And you would think that if anybody would have followed him, it would have been those that grew up with him, grew up around him, that the people that saw him every single day and interacted with him on a daily basis, that saw his perfection firsthand, that these people would have jumped right after him and followed him right away. But that was not the case. And what I want to preach to you this morning is this thought, the danger of growing up next to Jesus. They grew up with him. He was there every day, and they missed it. And I'm afraid that many times, if we're not careful, even me and now as a missionary, as I'm growing in the Lord, that sometimes we take it for granted and we don't put the effort in that we need to, and we don't let him have the right place in our life. And I'm going to tell you this, just because you've grown up in a Christian home and go to a Christian school, maybe even go to a Christian Bible college someday, does not mean you will turn out for God. Does not. I've seen them by the droves get out of church. We have a Christian school there at Trinity. We have a Bible Institute there at Trinity. But we've seen kids come up through the Christian school, and then just a few years, they're gone. And I think that's sad. I think about me and my wife. I didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, a godly home. I grew up in a good home, had a good mom and dad, but we didn't grow up in church. I like to say, I have an older brother named Matthew. I was Mark. We had a dog named Luke, and we lived in a 1 John house. And that's the most Bible I had. That's it. We didn't pray. We didn't read the Bible. We didn't go to church. We didn't. I had a good mom and dad that loved me, and we always spent time together as a family, but I didn't get to grow up under the preaching of God's Word. It didn't happen for me. And when I got in church and got saved, and me and my wife, she got saved at about 10 years old, and God changed her home. And thank God for the day she got saved. Her dad got saved, and he went home, poured all the liquor out, and they started living for God and going to church. But when we got married, we kind of looked at each other, sat down and talked. You know, we didn't really grow up all of our life in a Christian home, but I can be sure that my children grow up in a Christian home. And thinking about our youth group that we got involved in, at its height was maybe only about 20 kids that was in our youth group there through our church. But looking now, the only two that are in church faithfully are me and my wife. None of the others are, to my knowledge, even attending church on a regular basis, let alone serving God in ministry somewhere. And if you're not careful, you can grow up next to Jesus and miss Him. And I tell you, He wants to do something great in your life, but He can't do something great in your life till He has your life. And you got to be sure. And there's people in the Bible that grew up next to Jesus, grew up in godly homes, and just turned out to be wicked, ungodly men. I think of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. The Bible says there in 1 Samuel 2:12 says that they knew not the Lord. The preacher's kids grew up in the house of God, did not know the Lord, and God ended up killing them because of their mishandling of the ark. And they grew up, they were in it every day. I think about Lot, grew up in Abraham's house. The friend of God. And he missed it. And ended up pitching his tent towards Sodom and just kept going further and further and further and further away from God till his life was ruined and wrecked. But I tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Paul said to Timothy, "Hey, you've known it since you were a little kid. Just continue in it." And Timothy did. And I tell you, you can have a life that is pleasing to God, and you can do something great to God if you let God have your life. But don't grow up next to Jesus and miss it. And I want to look through these verses and point out three things, three dangers of growing up next to Jesus. Let me say number one, danger of growing up next to Jesus is that His uniqueness is lost. Look in verse number 55. They said this, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" To them, he wasn't the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He was just Mary's boy. He was just one of Joseph's sons. He was just one of the group, one of the brothers. He was just nothing special. He was just part of that family to them. I tell you that there is nobody like him. There is nobody like him. Deuteronomy 32:31 says, "For their rock is not our rock." I'm glad that I've got a true rock, a true God that I can stand on. You realize that He is the only true and the living God? All these other false religions, all these other false gods are fake, made up by man. He is the only true God. He's not one of a couple that you can choose from. He is it. There is nobody like Him. 10 times in the Word of God, speaking about God, it says, "And there is none else." Because He's one of a kind. There is nobody else. There's no one else you can turn to. And if you're not careful, you'll grow up and Jesus will just be just like anybody else. And He won't be anybody special. You just lock Him back in the category somewhere and say, "Well, He's just like anybody else I ever heard of. He's just like Moses and He's just like Abraham. He's just like anybody else I ever learned about." And if you're not careful, His uniqueness will be lost. There is nobody like Him. In Deuteronomy 4:35 it says, "Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him." Chapter 4, verse 39, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else." There is none else to go to. There's no one else to go for salvation. There's no one else to go to live for and to give your life to that will turn out for anything. He is the only true and the living God. Don't lose His uniqueness. In Isaiah chapter 45, it says several times, it says, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. Chapter verse 6, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. He's the one that stepped out and said, let there be light. He's the one that stepped out and spoke, and the mountains were formed, and the seas were formed, and the islands were formed, and He spoke all the animals in existence, and picked up a ball of dirt, and made man, and breathed into his life a breath, and man became a living soul. Can I tell you, there is nobody else like Him. He is one of a kind. There is nobody like Him. Chapter 45, verse number 21, it says, have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. He is the only Savior. Verse 22, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I tell you, there's nobody like Him. Don't just group Him in a category with everybody else and just say, well, He's just like anybody else, just a normal man. He's not that at all in any way. He is one of a kind. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Bright in the Morning Star. He's the Light of the World. He's the Bread of Life. He's the Door. Hey, He is one of a kind, and there is nobody like Him. You better be careful when you grow up next to Jesus that you lose His uniqueness. That you keep Him in that preeminent spot that He should be in your life. Don't just group Him in with everybody else, because there is nobody else like Him. He's one of a kind. And if we're not careful, we'll lose that. And I think that sometimes, even in our Christian life, we just kind of lose track of things. And I caught myself one time. I would get my Bible in the mornings. I would get it out. And, you know, you got that Bible schedule you got to read through to get through your Bible in a year. You know, and I'd sit down and my three chapters or four chapters or five chapters, however it was that day, and I'd sit down and read those to be sure I get through my Bible in the year. And I'd close my Bible up, and a few hours later I'd be trying to think about what I read, and I couldn't think of anything. And I got convicted about that. And I come to the realization it's more important that the Bible goes through me than I go through the Bible. And I don't care if you sit down and read 100 chapters or you sit down and read one. I don't care if you sit down and read one verse. Just get some out of it. And that's what we need. We need the Bible to speak to us. I heard a preacher one time, he said, I read the Bible until it speaks to me. Probably pretty good practice. If He ain't spoke to you yet, might want to keep reading. But the fact is, we just don't need to lose His uniqueness. There's a danger of losing His uniqueness. Then let me say, number two, a danger of growing up next to Jesus is you get upset at His loving words. Look in verse number 57. It says, and they were offended in Him. I looked up that word offended, and it means displeased. They didn't like what He had to say. And let me say that, you know, there's a difference between getting your toes stepped on and getting offended about what the preacher said. Pastor Cox sometimes will be preaching. I love Pastor Cox, and he's preaching about those lily-livered, spineless, you know, liberals and all this stuff, and he'll always throw Hawaiian shirts in there. And I'll tell him, I said, preacher, you got on my toes. I like them Hawaiian shirts. And he'll preach against flip-flops and things like that, and I'll amen. I hate flip-flops. I don't want anything between my toes. And but there's a difference between you getting your toes stepped on, getting convicted about something, and getting upset about what the preacher said. And there's a big difference right there. If he's up preaching the Word of God, and it's the man of God is giving the Word of God, and there's something that upsets you and makes you mad, there's nothing wrong with that message. There's something wrong with you. And you need to be careful that you don't get upset when he's trying to help you. Abigail, our 10-month-old, I love her. Her three favorite things to play with is a shoe, a power cord, and a plastic bag. That's what she loves. She'll crawl over to a shoe. She'll pick it up. She'll look at it. She'll lick the bottom of it. You know, that's not good. She chews on the power cords. I was at the house vacuuming the other day, and I'm going along, and all of a sudden it's like the cord's called. I can't pull it anymore. I look back, and Abigail's got the power cord in her mouth, gnawing on it. Again, that's not good. And plastic bags. She'll suck that thing down her throat if you let her. She likes it to crinkle and things like that, but she'll try to get it in her mouth. All three of those things are not good for her. And you'll walk over and you'll pull it away and you'll say no, and she loses it. Starts screaming and bawling and crying, tears streaming down her face. I love when she's laying there sometimes and she's got the tears streaming down and they'll pull up in her ears. You know, it's just so cute. And, she just laying there and I'm trying to help her. And she don't get it. And she's just getting upset. I tell you, a lot of times a man of God is trying to help you. And if you just get upset at it, you're going to miss it. You don't need to get upset at His words. Can I tell you a good test to see how much you love God? He said in Psalm 119, 165, "Great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall displease them." I tell you, when the preacher gets up and he's telling you how, something about you should stay away from and avoid in your life, you need to listen. I tell you, there were things as a teenager I was told to stay away from, and thank God I stayed away from a lot of things, but there's a few things I didn't. And can I tell you, I regret it. I put things in my mind that I can never get out. It's just wasted space. Wicked things, ungodly things that I should never have watched, never should have listened to. I was in a store not too long ago, and a song came on over the loudspeaker, something I probably hadn't heard in over 10 years. And I was standing there, and in my mind, I was singing every single word of that song I haven't heard in 10 years. And I struggled to memorize a verse. Be careful what you put in your mind. Be careful, because it's not coming out. It's going to stay in there. And we need to be not get upset when the man of God is trying to help us. They got upset when Jesus was speaking to them. The Bible says in Matthew 11:6, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." I tell you, we need to trust the Lord and trust what the Bible says. And you say, well, it doesn't make sense to me. Why do I have to listen? Why do I have to do this? A lot of times your pastor will tell you to stay away from things because he knows where it leads. And he's seen people go down that road, and he knows where it's going to end. And a lot of people think they're going to be the exception to the rule, that it's going to turn out okay for them. And as a kid, I loved the Looney Tunes. I loved watching the Looney Tunes. I don't know if y'all like watching Looney Tunes or not. I still like watching them. I'll look them up every once in a while. Me and Elizabeth will watch them. But probably my favorite of all the Looney Tunes was Foghorn Leghorn. I loved him. That big chicken, you know. I mean, Colonel Sanders would love to get a hold of that guy. And I loved Foghorn Leghorn. And but there was always that dog that was there on the farm with him. And what he would always do is he'd get like a piece of chalk or a stick and he'd mark an X on the ground. And he'd walk over that dog, and the dog always slept for some reason with his head first into the doghouse. And Foghorn would walk over there and he'd get him a little piece of wood or something, and he'd pick that dog up by the tail and pat, 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 pat. And he'd take off running and he'd stop on the other side of that X. And here comes that dog, and that chain would catch. And he's just sitting there just caught, can't get to Foghorn. He'd say, "Ah." And you know what he would say, but I'm not going to say it. And just slap him upside the head. But I always remember this about Foghorn Leghorn. If that dog was loose, he was no match for him. If the dog was loose, the dog would get the better of him every time. I tell you, we do that very same thing with sin. We toy with it and we run back and say, "Oh, I'm going to be okay." Not always going to be the case. I heard someone say one time, they were talking about a king cobra snake, which I hate snakes. I hate them. I rejoiced the day that I learned there's no snakes on Hawaii's Big Island. I was, woo, you know, I don't have to worry about them things. They used to be there, poisonous snakes. They brought in mongoose, for some reason I always want to say mongoose if there's more than one of them, but, you know, and they brought them in and they wiped out the snakes. And I thank God. And I was glad of that. I can't stand a snake. Somebody told me a king cobra snake has a strike of, I believe it was, about 15 feet or something like that. And the illustration they said was, if I had a king cobra snake in here, would you stand 16 feet away from him? I wouldn't. He might be an above average snake, you know. No way. No way. I'm staying far away from him. Can I tell you, we've flirted too close to sin. And we think, I can get this close and I'll be okay. Or I can get this close and I'll be okay. Hey, you need to be careful. There in Hawaii, we were there last year for 3 weeks. Just before we got there, the pastor was sharing us. He was talking about Hawaii. And Hawaii is a very dangerous place. And people don't think about that a lot of times. And there's a lot of the roads that it's pretty much the road and our guardrail and a couple hundred foot drop to the ocean, the cliffs and all. And he was sharing with me, he said there had been a family that come to Hawaii and had a young child, a young boy, and he threw up in the van to see one of the overlooks, a tourist spot, and he jumped out and took about 3 steps and was gone, fell to his death. And it looked like it was some firm ground to stand on, but in reality it was just brush and things like that built up, and he just went straight to it and fell to his death. And can I tell you, sometimes you'll look at something and say, well, I'll be okay, and the bomb's getting ready to fall out. And it's going to wreck your life. And you better be careful that you don't get upset when the preacher tells you to stay away from something. When the teacher tells you to stay away from something, it's for your good. And you say, well, I don't understand it. It's like what the brother said yesterday, just be obedient. You don't have to understand why, just do it. And, you know, Abigail doesn't know why I take the shoe away from her. She doesn't understand. Feet are nasty. Bottom of her shoes are very nasty. She doesn't understand that. And in time, I hope she'll learn that. I hope when she's 15, she's not still trying to lick the bottom of a shoe. I hope so. But she's not there yet. And you may not understand it, but just trust it. And just do what the Bible says. Don't get upset at what the Bible says. The Bible's right. The Bible's true. It's the pillar and ground. It is everything that we need. We all just trust Him. Can I tell you, there's things in the Bible I don't understand, but I believe it. And somebody was, I was reading not long ago in Ezekiel, and be honest, I was struggling, having a hard time with it. But the fact is, I still believe it. I believe what God said. I like what a preacher said one time. I believe the Bible so much that it said Jonah swallowed the whale. I believe that. I would. I just believe what it says. And that's what you need to do. You just need to believe what the Bible says. If anybody ever says anything contrary to the Word of God, stick with the Word of God. And, we ought not get displeased and get offended when somebody preaches the Bible. But it ought to bother us when somebody gets up and preaches something that's not the truth. And you ought to thank God. And a lot of times people grow up in a good church or stay in a good church, they don't really realize how good they got it. Us that have been on to many different churches, we can tell you things and make you really appreciate your church. Things we've seen. I was in a Sunday school class one time, and I'm sitting there, and the teacher's teaching. And the teacher asked this question. He said, is it a sin to drink liquor? And I said out loud, yes. And this man sitting there, he looks at me and says, well, not necessarily. And, really? And he went on to say basically what he was teaching the Sunday school class is, it's okay to drink liquor and do other things as long as you don't do it in front of a lost person, because a lost person thinks a Christian ought not to do that. Boy, that's wrong. And can I tell you, I was very displeased in that Sunday school class. False doctrine, false truth ought to bother us. But if it's the truth of God's Word, we don't need to get offended at it. We just need to get right and trust God and believe what He said. His uniqueness will be lost. You'll get upset at His love and learns. Let me say number three, a danger of growing up next to Jesus is unbelief latches on. Look at verse number 58. And it says, and He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He wanted to do something great in that town, and they wouldn't let Him because they wouldn't believe Him. You better be careful that unbelief doesn't latch on. I tell you, there can be unbelief when it comes into service. Over in Matthew chapter number 17 and verse 14, the Bible talks about there was a certain man that came to Jesus, and he had his son who was a lunatic. And he talked about he would fall into the fire and different things. And he says, I brought him unto thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus ends up helping and curing this boy. Well, then after that, the disciples come up and say, verse number 19, and came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? He said, well, why couldn't we get it done, Lord? And he says to them, because of your unbelief. For verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, we can do anything that God wants us to do. Anything. There's nothing impossible for us to accomplish. It's my goal and my heart's desire to see an independent, fundamental King James Bible preaching church in every town of the state of Hawaii. That's what I want to see. You say, well, that's impossible. God said it's not impossible. It is possible if I just trust Him. I tell you, we can do anything God wants us to do. It doesn't matter how big the task, no matter what it is, we can do anything with God on our side. The only problem is, a lot of times, we just don't believe it. We just don't believe that God could use somebody like me. I tell you, Moses struggled with that. God spoke to him and said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to bring my people out. And Moses looks to God and says, well, who am I that I should go? And then he goes on and starts saying, well, Lord, I can't speak well. I'm not eloquent. And I kind of agree with Moses there. Sometimes I don't feel very eloquent. I can't even spell eloquence. But the fact is, we come to God with all these excuses about why He can't use us and why He can't use us. And I tell you, God made you the way you are. He made you that way. And He's got a plan for your life. When you were born, God didn't just sit there and scratch His head and say, okay, I got to figure out something for this one to do. No, when you were in the womb, God was forming you and saying, boy, I've got something great for them. I'm going to make them this way for this reason. They may not know it. They may not realize it. They might not ever in this world realize how I've shaped and molded their life to get them into the place where I want them to be if they'll just trust me. We can do anything God wants us to do as long as we believe it. And we believe what He said. And we don't let unbelief latch on in our life. And I don't want to be just some ho-hum Christian life. Just going through the motions. I don't want that. I want genuineness. I love God with all my heart, and I try every day to get closer to Him, and I try my best to live out every day of my life to His honor and glory and doing what He wants me to do. And there's a lot of uncertainties. It is, and it's scary sometimes as uncertainties. My wife really likes to have a plan about things. I mean, she really does. And the Lord has helped her with that on deputation because there's not always a plan. And she'll ask me sometimes, we're going to a church, and, you know, what are you doing tonight? Are you preaching? Are you presenting? Are we singing? What's going on? I say, they didn't say. I have no idea. Don't know. They just said, come. And sometimes we get there and they look at you and say, what are you doing here? And you say, you invited me. And they say, oh, yeah, that's right. And they say, this is going to be great, you know. And but, you know, sometimes we really want a plan. We really do. And I kind of like that. You know, what am I going to do today and tomorrow and things like that. But deputation has been kind of teaching us, you know, sometimes our plans just kind of have to go to the side a little bit. And the way people are in Hawaii, they never make a plan. Ever. They don't get in a hurry about anything. They don't plan anything. It's just all spur of the moment. And can I tell you, what God's been doing on this deputation is He's been working in us and helping us to be patient and to understand that it's not all going to go according to the schedule. It's not going to go all according to the plan. But as long as we're just patient and we trust God, everything will be okay. I tell you, God is shaping and molding your life and working in your life for a reason. You just need to trust Him. We had a missionary at our church a few weeks ago, and he was talking about his life, and he married, when him and his wife got married, she was from China, spoke Mandarin Chinese. And at one point in their marriage, they took a trip to China to visit some of her family. And when he was there, he said, God began, just gave me a burden for these people. And he said, I started learning Mandarin Chinese and started praying about, would God have me to go there? And he said, but God kept saying no and no and no. Wouldn't let me go and let me go. And he said, I didn't understand. I didn't understand why that God had given me such a burden for these people and he wouldn't let me go. And he was just, he kept on serving the Lord. And then one day he took a trip to Boston, Massachusetts. And he was up there and God gave him a heart for Boston and then laid a specific area on his heart. And when he started researching, he found out that the predominant people there are Mandarin Chinese. Here he is. He's had a burden for these people, been learning their language, thinking that God would never gonna let him go and reach those people. And then here's the place that God has for him. And oh, look, the exact same people that he had a burden for and the exact same language that he had been learning. I tell you, that's God. God wants to do something in your life. Just trust Him. Just believe Him. Just go with it. And just trust Him, and it'll be okay. Don't let unbelief latch on in your service. But then let me say lastly, don't let unbelief latch on when it comes to your salvation. Here they are. They grew up next to Jesus. They saw Him every day. And yet, they didn't trust Him. If you're not careful, you ever heard the term, fake it till you make it? Well, you're not going to make it into heaven if you fake it. You're not. A few years ago, we had a revival at our church. Brother Benny Beckham came. And a great revival that God did at our church. We were supposed to go about 3-4 nights. Ended up going about 2 weeks. And many, many people saved. And what really kind of broke it open, I guess you say, that first Saturday night of the revival, we had many people walk down and get saved. But what really kind of happened on Friday night, Angel probably knows Brother Jacob Freeman there at our church, tall, red-headed boy. And he was probably, if you looked at our youth group, you would say, man, he's the cream of the crop. Man, he's the one that all the other kids all looked up to as an example that's living his life for God. And but the thing is, he was unsaved. And he shared with us that Friday night after the service, he laid in bed and he said, I honestly thought I was going to die in the next few minutes and go to hell. And he got in his car and drove about 25 minutes to our pastor's house. This is about 1 in the morning. Calling pastor saying, I need to talk to you, I need to talk to you. And he gets in there and he tells pastor and he said, I have been faking it for years. And it got to the point he had faked it so much that he thought it was real. And God spoke to his heart and he trusted Christ as his Savior and was born again. Can I tell you, be careful that you don't just fake it. Be sure that it is genuine and that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't miss Him. You have a great privilege here. Don't take this for granted. I grew up in, I went to public school all my life. I never stepped foot in a Christian school until I was on deputation and went and spoke in a Christian school. Talking about feeling out of place, I didn't know how a Christian school operated. I didn't know anything. I'd never been to one. Don't take this for granted. And don't miss the Savior. Don't grow up next to Him and miss Him. He is real. He is genuine. And you need to be too. You need to be sure that you're saved, that you're living your life for God. I knew guys in Bible college. There was one way in the dorm, and there was another way when they got in front of the teachers. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And you can fake it before people. But you cannot fake it before God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We need to be sure that we're living a real life, a genuine life that is true to God, and a life that God can use. Like I said, God wants to do mighty things in your life, but He's got to have your life first. Like Brother DeLong preached, You've got to first give your own selves to the Lord. If He doesn't have you, He can't use you. If He's got you, you'll give Him anything. You'll go anywhere He wants you to go. You'll do anything He wants you to do. You got to give yourself to Jesus. Don't grow up next to Him and miss Him like they did. There's a real danger in that. Be sure it's real, it's genuine, and that you don't miss the Savior. Let's pray.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Tremendous message. Now, at invitation time, you want to be specific. You don't want to just kneel and say, well, thank you for the day and help me to be... help. No. Specific. Specific. Has He lost His uniqueness? Is it still special to you that you have a Bible, that you go to church? I like what he said. It's more important that the Bible goes through me than for me to go through the Bible. You get upset at some of the preaching because you don't understand it. Does it have offensive to you? Or the rules or whatever. And then unbelief. Now, at invitation time, you're specific and you say, Lord, this is what you spoke to me about and I want to talk to you about it. Here's what I need. I need forgiveness. I need help. I need encouragement. Does He have your life? He wants to do something with it. Can't until He has it. God calling you to be a missionary or a full-time service? Yield to Him. And if you're lost, don't just kneel and take care of it by yourself. Go see somebody. Go see somebody. But you do what the Lord tells you to do this morning. This is the last school chapel invitation, the missions conference. So if there's something in all these messages... I think about Brother Hiltavettel's message on Monday. I think about Brother Ward's message yesterday and now this message today. Just outstanding. Father, bless this time of us talking back to You. Thank You for speaking to us. We don't take that for granted. Now help us to do what You want us to do and respond rightly as we give our hearts to You. In Jesus' name.